Hey Queenies, it's me, Jane, and welcome back to another episode of Teenage Dream. The sun is shining directly in my face right now. I never understood why people tan. It scares me. Okay, that's not the point. I want to talk about how getting better is hard. Oh yeah, hi, I'm Jane, and welcome back to another episode of Teenage Dream. This is what goes on my mind as a 19-year-old and what probably goes on in the mind of other teenagers. Well, we'll never know. So I want to talk about healing from trauma and, you know, dealing with mental health and how difficult it can be. I thought about this topic when I started to get better. Yeah, when I started to get better, and then I was like feeling happy, and I was like, I haven't felt that shit in a long time. It feels weird, and I felt kind of scared of being happy. Like, that's the thing I wanted to be for like months. And then I finally had it, and I was like, this shit is scary. Like, I'm not used to this. Like, where's the depression going to pop out from this time? Like, so this episode, I didn't want it to be like, oh, getting better is hard and that's it, because that's kind of really pessimistic. I just wanted to say like, hey, there are some improvements that can be made with time. And I wanted people to see the hate, literally the saying, light at the end of the tunnel. There is one, but you know, I feel like there's something people say when they're like, oh, about to like tell you about the religion and things like that. But this is really not what this is. I'm just going to tell you, like, different things are going to work for different people. Some people, for their mental health, the best thing that worked for them was their religion or putting it in the hands of their deity. And whatever works for you, as long as it's not destructive. But I'm going to tell you different things. And the thing with mental health, what makes it a little more difficult and tricky, is it's really not, I don't want to say specific, but it's more so that dealing with mental health and just like improving with your mental health a little difficult is because a lot of people's situations are different. So for somebody, one thing might work for them, but then for another person, another thing might work for them. And it's not like a uniform thing. And I posted that on my public Snapchat story about how I didn't have any friends and didn't know who I was going to sit with at lunch. And I literally, also, you should know I hate pity. At that time, I feel like I didn't mind pity as much, but now I do. And this girl like texted me and was like, oh, what lunch do you have? And I was like, oh, I have this lunch. And she had the opposite lunch. So she was like, oh, I have this lunch. So, you know, because I thought I was going to be like, oh, yeah, you could just sit with us at lunch, like type stuff. I feel like that shouldn't have been the way it went about it, but that's what I did. And, you know, the YouTube videos didn't really help because the problem was more so my anxiety. Yeah. And honestly, like I said, I thought at first was the inability to make friends in my school, or if I did have friends, it was just like in school friends. So I wouldn't talk to them, outside of school. And I felt like I had to hide my personality because I was so like afraid of being judged and all of those things. And it was just like all of the early signs of just like anxiety and depression. But I didn't know what to do. So I talked to my closer friends, like my besties. Shout out to them. I just talked to my closer friends about it. And then they were like, this is what you can do or whatever. And they were being supportive. But then I talked to my parents about it. And immigrant parents are like notorious. Like, they're notorious for being like dismissive and not believing in mental health. I feel like I just wasn't being listened to and I was being ignored. Or, why are you depressed when you literally, and they'll like pull up like, you know, Maslow's triangle and like Maslow's triangle hierarchy of needs. They'll just start saying like the bottom thing, like every other thing could not be being met. But they're like, you have a house, you have clothes, you have food. Why are you sad? And I'm like, what about the emotional needs? What about the social, like, what about the other needs on the chart that aren't being met? And honestly, I felt like I was being dismissed and not listened to and just ignored in general. And my parents was telling me to focus on school. And that was like really disheartening and like kind of like a kick in the face, because I'm like, I want to focus on school, but I literally am depressed and school is the only thing I do. I'm not in any clubs. You don't allow me to hang out with my friends most of the times. School is all I do and I don't have anything outside of that, and school is making me depressed, so I don't want to focus on this. Like, school is giving me anxiety and depression. I don't want to focus on this. I just want to be able to hang out with my friends and have something outside of school that isn't just school, because I'm literally losing my mind here. I'm so serious. I'm losing my mind here. And honestly, I just like, I tried so many times to talk to my parents about mental health and like what I was going through, but it took me like years to just give up. I'm so serious. Like this point, like if my parents do something that crosses my boundaries, I'm just like, listen, this is no, like, I'm just like, listen, you crossed my boundaries. I set those boundaries. You can either respect them or you just literally will not see me in your home. You will see me in my dorm because I'm not going to be coming home. I hate to tell you. During that time, what became my coping mechanism was like using my phone. I know a lot of people who go through those similar things. This is why I think it's so important for like parents to actually like listen to their kids and be supportive, because your kids can develop like really bad coping mechanisms. If you're not listening, then they'll find something else to numb the pain or to focus on. My coping mechanism was my phone, which I did have a phone addiction for like a while, but honestly, it could have been other things. I know people take up vaping or smoking, and now it's like a completely different thing that you have to deal with. Another one of my crutches, because for my mental health, was like another one of my like crutches, or like kind of things that I did because my mental health was so bad. I literally would have the most delusional crushes ever. I still do, but not as bad as I did before. It was worse in like 2020, but I still remember I had a crush on this guy, and it was like if I was with him, then my life would be better. I wouldn't be depressed anymore. He would save me, quote unquote, which obviously he's not going to save you. I don't know why I thought like a 15-year-old man was going to come save me from my depression, if I'm being honest, but I don't know. And then like as the years went on, it was just like a different crush. Like junior year, it was another crush. I'm like, did I really think an 18-year-old man was going to save me from my depression? Like for whatever reason, I did. And then I started going to therapy, but, and then fast forward, like, I'm kind of going a little out of order. Sophomore year, my depression was better, and my anxiety was better, but I still was anxious. Like, I remember just feeling really anxious, and like, it was in my stomach, like, a lot more. Like, it just, my stomach would just make noises so much. And I would literally, like, even though I was more social, I would literally stay up, like, late at night, overthinking everything I said. If I said hi, I would overthink saying that. I would literally overthink all the conversations I had, how it was being interpreted, looking at people's face movements. And I'm like, oh, what? Why did they just make that face? Bro, I don't know. Maybe they had a pain in their stomach. And I'm like overanalyzing everything, being like, oh, why did I say that? Why did I do this? And it's literally was fucking exhausted. It was literally so exhausting. And I literally am like thinking back, like, how did I ever have energy back then, because I would spend so much time like overthinking, and I would like stay up till like 1 a.m. overthinking, and like have to wake up like 5, 6 a.m. for school. And I'm like, I don't know what I was doing or what was going on specifically. And then the pandemic began. I just hate talking about this at this point. Like, it happened. I was obviously depressed. Like, it was everything. All those things just exemplified, like, everything started going downhill. Anxiety, depression on 10. My classes were hard, and I was already depressed and anxious, made it even harder. I literally had a friend breakup. I was worried about colleges and my grades. And I literally had to be dealing with trauma. Like, I honestly, it was just such a, I can't even speak for it. It was just such a collection of things going on that I don't even know what to say about it at this point. Like, it was just really something. But then I started going to therapy, which really helped. And I'm gonna be honest, therapy is not always the magic solution. I think people like market therapy as like, oh, you just go there. And it's like, you actually have to put effort in, you know? Like, you can't just like go to therapy and think the effort's gonna be put in. And therapy is not always accessible to everybody because it's expensive. And I know because my health insurance was cut, and then they're like, oh yeah, you can pay for like to see your psychiatrist, like, yeah, like 100, 150, something slight, something chill. I'm like, bro, maybe I can't. And honestly, there were times that I thought I would always feel this depressed. And since I was like depressed for such a long time, continuously, like it just felt like second nature. Like if I wasn't depressed, then what was I? You know? And even though it like physically gave me pain, like the friend breakup literally physically caused me pain. Like trauma physically caused me pain. I don't know if that makes sense, but like I physically felt in pain. Like I physically felt in pain. Like, okay, I'm gonna go through the reasons why it's hard to get better. Number one, and this is the first one that came to me, is support system. I didn't really have parental support systems when it came to those things. And I just, like, especially when I was dealing with my trauma during, like, junior year, since I had that friend breakup and I was already, like, at home and in isolation and all those things, I didn't have much people to talk to. You know, like, I didn't really have anything to distress from it. So it was, like, freshman year amplified, because at least I could, freshman year, even though I hated school, at least it was like school. Okay, now I could like go to school. But when it was junior year, like school was online. Where was I supposed to go? And then I got used to being sad. Like, I was watching Girl Interrupted, and it says, she's like, the character says, I feel ambivalent. And basically ambivalent, it's kind of like unsure or kind of like stuck between two. It's like being unsure and having like contradictory feelings about something. So that's kind of how I felt. Like, it's easier, because when I did start going to therapy, like it literally hurt for me to talk about these things. This hurts too much, like in my mind. Like, I'm not used to going and telling this basically stranger all of my things, that I can't even tell to my friends these things, friends I've known for years. Some of these things I can't talk to people about. I felt like I couldn't talk to people about it, and it's just sometimes so easier to mask, but it also caused me so much pain, and I knew I didn't want to hide my pain and hide my depression and anxiety like my family members do, because it was draining and it felt terrible. Another thing is just no money for therapy. Therapy is really expensive, like I said. But I'm going to tell you the solution now. The only thing that I could think about is if you have health insurance, if you don't know if they qualify for therapy, just call and ask and see if they do. If you make a certain amount of money, then maybe apply for Medicaid, Medicare, depending how old you are. And also, if you are in college, I know a lot of colleges have therapy that is covered under, you know, your tuition fees. And you could talk to therapists. And if you're not in college, there are support groups, usually at community centers or at, you know, churches and other things like that. So you kind of have to look into those type of things. Another thing with like support system, like parents and family, if I know when I started going to therapy, my parents like stigmatized me seeing my therapist so much. And when I went on medication, my parents like stigmatized the medication, like made it seem like I was gonna get addicted to the medication. And I'm like, bro, no. And it's like they already assume the negatives. Depression just drains your energy and hope and drive, and it just makes it difficult to actually seek help. Because if I'm not getting out of bed and brushing my teeth and doing those type of like, you know, daily maintenance type things, what makes you think I'm gonna have energy to go to therapy, you know? And then on the flip side, anxiety, it just like give you, I would have anxiety about going to therapy, and I wouldn't want to go sometimes because I'm like, I'm anxious. I would want to tell my therapist things, but I'd be afraid of judgment. I'd be afraid of just how it would be perceived. And I remember one time this is one of my old therapists. It took me a lot of courage to tell her about my paranoia. And I was like, hey, I have really bad paranoia and I feel like I'm being watched. And I was like, it basically feels like Michael Jackson. I always feel like somebody's watching me. And then she was like, kind of dismissive about it. And it's like, oh, has anybody else watched you? Has anybody watched you? I'm like, no, I just feel like it is. And then I know now that it's more like an anxiety thing, that if I'm doing something in my house, I'm automatically going to picture me doing it in front of a group or in front of a crowd, and then like feel anxious about it. Like I would literally be anxious to change or shower in my house, because I would feel like I'm being watched, and I would have to cover each corner of my house, like each corner of my room with things. Or like I would feel like, oh, my LED lights have cameras in them and they're watching me. Like it was literally insanity. But that's how I felt. And I took a lot of courage. It took a lot of courage to tell her that. And then just for it to be dismissed, I was like, The next thing is about like stigma, fear of impact. I know it's breaking down now, but I still feel like there's stigma, especially when like I have to fill out job applications and they're like, do you have a disability? And they'll list like, oh, mental health, this mental health. And I'm like, I don't know. I just prefer not to stay because I don't want to be judged for having mental health issues, or for me not to be able to get a job because of mental health issues. And I feel like sometimes they lump them disabilities together where they're not always necessarily the same thing. Like, I do think there should obviously be changes in disability resources in general, because sometimes jobs are like, oh, you must be able to lift 15 pounds, when it's literally a desk job. And it's like, do I really need to lift 15 pounds? Like, you know what I mean? But I don't, for example, like if you work at a hospital, you kind of like that's more necessary for you to be able to lift like a certain amount of weight, or at like a packing type of stuff like Amazon. But I don't want it to prevent me from getting a job because of that. And I don't want people to see me differently because of that. And then I had to learn that I can't control that. And the last thing was I didn't know where to start, because it was kind of like, okay, I have issues with this. And then I was like looking through the list, and it's overwhelming if I'm being honest. I was looking through the list of all these things, like and as I go into therapy, it's like feels like, okay, one thing down, but then I realize I have another thing. Like one thing down, and I realize I have another thing. And it's like feels kind of sometimes like an endless list of things you need to improve on that you feel like you'll never improve on. And I'm just gonna say everybody has their faults. But it really is just going to depend. Okay, here's some solutions. If you don't have a support system, do not try to get people to listen to you who aren't interested in listening to you in the first place. I saw a picture and it was talking about, I don't know, I forgot what it was. And it was like a therapist saying, oh, their client said this thing. And it was like, oh yeah, like, well, don't try to make people listen who had no interest in like listening to you in the first place. If I find it, I'll say it. Randomly, right? Or if you have close friends, then have your close friends be your support group, or go to actual support groups, because I feel like you can't make somebody change, and you can't make people listen and believe the things you wanna say if they already chose they don't want to. Okay, I found the quote. It says, "You will always be too loud to the people who never had intentions to listen to you." So literally that, like if they are obviously not interested in hearing what you have to say, or not interested in your mental health, then I wouldn't recommend trying to convince them. I hate to say it, but like don't try to convince people. It's like that's with my parents kind of thing. Like I'm not going to try to convince them to do certain things or things like that. Like if they decide to, they decide to. And I know that's gonna hurt, but the thing is with getting better and your mental health in general, it's gonna hurt. And sometimes you lose people along the way because you realize you're not gonna take the things you took before or deal with those things you took before. And if you're used to being sad and it feels weird when you're happy, just remember like how much better happiness feels, how much better happiness feels than sadness. And that it's just gonna take some time to get used to. Cause if you get into patterns of doing things, and over time you will get used to being happy. Similarly, getting better in general is hard. So it might be like I have all this trauma to deal with. So it may feel more comfortable to deal with things and to not deal with things and stay in depression. But like I said, take those baby steps. It's not gonna happen all overnight. You have to really just like crawl before you walk. And that really helps. I did tell you about the group therapy, call insurance, online resources can really help. And you have to also focus on what's best for you, because if I listened to my parents and what they were telling me about mental health, I would literally be stuck in the same position I was in 2020, and I would feel terrible. You kind of have to push through as well. It's gonna hurt, but you have to push through. You have to keep going, even though it hurts, even though you're going to want to stop, even though it's difficult, even though if you're depressed, you're not going to want to continue going, you have to. And things are going to change. It's going to take time, but it's going to change. And of course, like I always say, my holy grail journaling, it doesn't work for everybody, but it works for some people. Well, all of these don't always work for everybody, but they work for some people. I'm talking fast because I am almost out of time. And yeah, you can do it. And I believe in you. And it's going to be difficult, but I know you're strong and I know you can get through it. And I felt like I needed this when I was literally really depressed. Like if somebody told me I could get through it and how I could get through it, and it's going to be difficult and you're going to second guess yourself and you're going to probably listen to this episode and think like, oh, what the fuck is she talking about? I am talking about it because I know it and I went through it and I understand and I see where you're coming from and I know how hard it is to get better. I'm Jane. Follow me on all my socials and I'm outie.